nice to have you with us for another edition of the Home Improvement Show. Walter, how are you this week?
I'm doing great. Sunny, Formula One, what more do you want?
Walter Assi from Renovco. Our phone number is 514-790-0800 here in Montreal for you to call or text. Text line is open as well. I'm going to get right to a phone call if you don't mind, Walter.
Sure.
All right, let's bring in
all business as usual.
I'll hit the ground running. Steve, is that you?
Yes, that's me.
And where are you calling from again?
Terrell Tracy.
Very nice. What do you want to talk to Walter about?
I want to talk about my flooring and my floor in my kitchen.
Oh, okay.
I need some advice.
Go ahead.
Okay. Walter, in my kitchen, I had three layers of linoleum on the floor that I took off.
Okay.
From the previous owner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's left the plywood underneath in very bad shape. It tore off like pieces of wood, and so it's very rough. And I would like to add a new plywood flooring to it. I would like to know, like, what's the thickness I should buy, and what's the best kind of plywood to buy.
Okay, so that's a good question. The fact I'm going to answer that in different ways, because it's all going to depend on what type of flooring you want to install now.
Do you have any? I would like to install some kind of wood flooring, whether it be laminate or whatever, something that would be easier to install, but durable and nice looking.
Okay. So if you were to install not necessarily, well, you could also install laminate. The good news with laminate is it does not care about the condition of the plywood underneath.
Oh, really?
That's correct. Unless there's like buses and valleys and holes and things that could just lead to it not being straight. But if let's say it's in general good condition.
No, it's generally not in good condition at all. There's pieces of like wood taken off of it. I tried to put it some vinyl flooring on it, like vinyl tiles,
mm-hmm.
and they don't hold because the floor is in such bad condition.
Okay.
It just does not hold.
Okay, so it might be a bit different when it comes to laminate or vinyl lats because typically they're longer. So there's a couple of ways to go around this. Again, I would need to see the exact condition. But one of the things you could do is, if you don't want to change the level of the floor, is to apply a plenty patch on top of the plywood in order to make it more even and less rough.
Okay.
Okay, that would be one way. The other thing that, let's say, you want to add to the existing plywood, which is always not a very great thing as far as the levels of that floor vis-a-vis the other levels of the other areas, because right now you might be higher than, you know, for example, the dining room or the living room, wherever.
No, it's completely separate from. It's an enclosed kitchen all by itself.
Okay.
You know, it's just with the fridge and the stove and the dishwasher.
Okay. So if you were to add another plywood, the minimum you want to go with would be 3/8. Okay.
3/8 of an inch.
That's correct. Now, it doesn't have to be select. So don't waste your time on a select plywood. As a matter of fact, if in the future you choose to put, for example, tile flooring, if you go with select, then actually that's a bad thing because the glue does not adhere very well to a select plywood. So you pay more money, but it's going to actually be worse off for you if you decide to choose in the future to install porcelain tiles or anything else. Anything lower than 3/8, you will run into potential issues of curling or cupping in the plywood. So you don't want to go with a very thin plywood either, because that could actually create curls and waves. But very important thing I would like to mention that you started off about the different layers of the linoleum in the floor.
Yeah, there was three.
There were three. So my issue with that is that if you, by you removing every layer, you will notice the day, you almost can date every layer on what year it was installed by the design, right?
Yeah, it's a very old house.
Okay.
It's a semi-detached, and I think it was built like in the early 50s or something.
Correct. So, and typically that's what you would see in the 50s, because what they used to do in those times is they used to have that tar black glue, which is extremely hard to remove. And
it was hard to remove. It took me a lot of effort.
There you go. So that's why they opted to put another linoleum on top rather than go through this whole hassle.
Exactly.
My only issue is the dates. So it's just a word of caution for everyone, because a lot of times linoleum that was installed in the 50s and the 60s would potentially contain asbestos fiber.
Well, it's long gone.
No, I get it. This is for you. It's a fait accompli. It's for whoever is listening,
because it
is a common mistake that we do, is we don't, you know, look into the material. So anytime you are dealing with material that is below, late 80s and before, you have to actually look into it to ensure that there's no asbestos. The peak of the asbestos use would have been in the 60s and the 70s. That would be like the highest volume that we use, because don't forget, it was the best invention ever known to mankind. It was this like indestructible fiber that was cheap. And everything else. So that's why, just a word of caution, when you guys are dealing with different materials, when you're going to get to that material that looks like 50s, 60s, 70s, stop and ask that question.
How's that, Steve?
Fine.
So
as far as if I put a new layer of plywood on it,
mm-hmm.
what would be the best kind of plywood I would buy that's going to, you know, do the job for me and that'll accept a flooring afterwards?
Well, like I told you, any rough plywood, so it doesn't have to be select. You could go with fair plywood. You don't even have to go with tongue and groove. As a matter of fact, 3/8, they don't even do tongue and groove. So that will save you money as well. So just any standard plywood. I mean, 3/8, because you're going with laminate. Now, if you would have been going with other stuff, we would have a different conversation. The only thing I ask you to do is just measure up the height of the floor where the dishwasher is going to be, just to ensure that after you install that plywood, you can still remove that dishwasher. It's not going to hit the countertop.
Yes, that's the one. That's the only place where I'm a little bit concerned about.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But 3/8 of an inch, I think I may be able to make it.
Well, here's what you're going to do. Measure it up, and even what I would do before I install it everywhere, put that 3/8 underneath the dishwasher first, do a cut, try it, make sure it comes out, slides in and slides out with no issues.
Good idea.
Steve, we have to run. I hope that was some help for you.
Yes, and Ken, it's always nice to hear you when you come back.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
And thank you, Walter, for your help. Much appreciated.
My pleasure.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey from Renovco. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. I'm Ken, and that man across from me is Walter Assey from Renovco. The phone number is 514-790-0800. You can have him for the full hour. Pick his brain. He's got a lot of information and a lot of help for you. If you have a home improvement project that needs a little bit of work and a little bit of guidance, 514-790-0800. That's the number for the text line as well. Back to the phone. Eldon, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind this morning?
I have a question about a heat pump. I have a heat pump, which is the usual outdoor compressor with an indoor heat exchanger unit. It's a Trane brand. purchased from a big box store, installed by their subcontractor, and the unit stopped working last winter, both heating and cooling. Service agent finally diagnosed a leak in the heat exchanger coils of the internal unit and ordered a replacement part under guarantee. At that point, service agent went out of business. So now we have a dysfunctional heat pump with a leaking coil and no service agent. And I'm wondering, is there some way to repair this? I assume a leaking coil can't be welded or raised, but can an internal unit be replaced with a unit from a different model, or is there some way to deal with this?
What's the brand?
Train, T-R-A-N-E.
Okay, so you don't need to go with a different model. You can actually, the parts are usually warrantied from Train. So any other company that service Train will come and honor the warranty on the parts, maybe not on the labor, but on the parts. So you'll get the material for free, and then you will just pay the labor.
Hmm. Yeah, the problem in this case is that that particular part is no longer manufactured. So Train doesn't have it. And Home Depot, where we bought it, won't honor the warranty because it's now beyond 10 years, although it was within the warranty period when the service was contracted with their service provider. But as I said, the service provider went out of business before they could do the work. So
okay, so I get it, and I'm very well aware of how the Home Depot service installation works. So typically, the warranty does not come from the service provider; it should be coming from Home Depot directly.
Right.
So what you would do is you will have to escalate this with Home Depot and just have the proof ready. When you called, it was within the warranty period. I would not let it go. Typically, if you do the proper escalation, they might actually do something about it. Now,
where do you escalate to?
Well, you speak to, they have different, so you go to the manager of customer service, and if that doesn't work out, you actually go to the bureau chef. You go to the head office, and if that doesn't work, you go to their regional head office, and then you can actually go to their North American headquarters. You can actually go all the way there. And the more you escalate, the more people you're going to see, they're going to get involved, and they're actually fairly good once it reaches a certain escalation level. That's number one. Number two, have you tried to contact a Train directly?
The current service provider has tried to contact Train directly. That's determined that the part is no longer manufactured and there are none in stock. And Train says it's out of warranty, which now it is, although it was not when the service was being provided by the subcontractor.
Correct.
So, we were kind of wrapped up in a catch-22 here.
Okay, so my advice is if you can contact Train yourself directly, because I have a feeling sometimes if it's a bit of a headache, it's easier for the service provider just to sell you a new machine.
Right.
And that's my worry. I'm very weary about Frankensteining a machine from other suppliers. I'm not a very, from other manufacturers, I should say. So I'll be very, very cautious if I'm going to approach it this way. I would start by calling a Train, and I would start by escalating with Home Depot installation department. Just make sure that you have all your proofs lined up. When did you call and everything else? Because typically they should have picked up the warranty. I mean, technically, it's really them. When you call for a warranty, you call them, and then they send the service provider back. That's how it works.
Home Depot.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, so that's where what I will do. But just off the cuff, is there any possibility that somebody who specializes in climatization could graft in a different coil unit?
I mean, look, there's a possibility. I can't tell you because I don't know the model and anything else. In my opinion, highly unlikely because they still have to warranty this, and I don't see how they're going to warranty this.
Right.
Just whatever you do, make sure that whoever you're calling services and installs Train furnaces, because not every company deal with Train. So just make sure of that. So if they don't, then I would not even hire them.
Thanks. Love your show, guys. Thanks very much.
Right, Eldon. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Opens up a line at 514-790-0800. 514-790-0800. Gail, we're going to get to you in a minute. Maureen as well is on the line and on hold. Walking the dog in the last week in the neighborhood, and I couldn't help but notice, Walter, I must have counted four or five different projects at various homes in my neighborhood where they're working on the steps and the landing in the front of the house. And it seems, it's like, is it because of our winters that, you know, they don't wear that well, and they eventually start showing their age a little, maybe prematurely? There's always repairs going on those steps leading up to the front door.
Yeah, our winters and our summers, don't forget, we have a minus 40, plus 40 sometimes, yeah. Right?
So erratic weather.
You know, we have very crazy weather. We put salt, we put products. Concrete is not a good friend for us when it comes to stairs and steps and landings, that's for sure. You know, that's why epoxy resin for me, if you don't get it with anything else like pavers, would be always a better option because that lasts a lot longer. It's more resistant and it does contract and expand without cracking like concrete would.
Very good. If you want to talk to Walter, again, call 514-790-0800. I'm Ken Connors and we're coming back with more of your phone calls here on the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back. Second half of the Walter Assey Home Improvement Show. I'm making up new names as I go along. The Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey from Renovco, who's answering your calls and questions. Let's get right back to the phone at 514-790-0800 and bring in Gail. Hi, Gail.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. And yourself?
Oh, I'm very good. Well, it's a beautiful day. We're all in a good mood because of the weather is fantastic. Talk to me about the stone in your entranceway. What's going on there?
Okay, well, I bought this house, it dates 1850. What I did was I pulled up some hardwood floor right at the front door, and I put down some stone. Now, I put down the backer board, I put down the grout, I put the mortar, the grout, and then I found some stone in a back shed, and it's inches, or it's 4 by 4 inches, and it, right now I believe it to be slate. Now, what's happening is, some of that is peeling off. There's 2-3 stones that are peeling off the top. And the grout is sinking down. So what I need to do is put more grout, and I don't know what finish to put on top to stop the stones from peeling.
So when you say it's, you said it's slate, right?
I believe it to be slate because it's like layers that are peeling off the top of the stones.
Okay. So you said that also the grout is disintegrating.
No, it's sunken.
The grout is sunken.
I have to put more to bring it up to level.
Okay, so the grout sunken, I'm not quite understanding why would that happen.
Unless thinking because when I first did it, maybe I didn't put it enough.
You didn't put enough.
And after it settled a bit, that it went down a bit. It's not right down to the bottom of the stone.
And how long has it been done?
6 years.
6 years, okay. So, I mean, it's either that or whatever is underneath. You have what? It's the concrete underneath?
I put down plywood, then I put down this bubble stuff that I was supposed to put down before the mortar.
Okay.
And then you cover that, and then you put down your stones.
Okay, and that's exterior, right?
The interior.
Oh.
It's in my entranceway.
Okay, it's interior. All right, okay.
I was picturing it outside, too.
Yeah, I was picturing it outside.
There's a lot of traffic there.
Okay. So, I mean, as far, just to kind of answer you, the fact that the grout sunken You know, if you would have not put enough, it would have happened right away, within a few weeks or months, but not 6 years.
Well, it's been like that for a while.
Okay. The as far as the stone is concerned, any sealer should stop the decomposition process of the slate.
I had put sealer on it when I finished the job. I had put sealer, but it didn't seem to do the job.
Well, the sealer usually, if you have to look at the instructions, because sealers typically have to be reapplied, most cases, most products, once a year. So okay. If you've done it once...
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, no, I get it. And that's a common mistake. I mean, it's the same thing that applies when you deal with grout and stuff like that. So in a lot of cases, depending on the manufacturer's guidelines... you would probably need to reapply. Now, the duration of when you have to reapply is going to boil down to the manufacturer. So some are 1 year, some are 3 years, some are 5 years.
Okay.
That's number one.
I was looking for something similar to an acrylic finish, but I'm not going to put acrylic because that scratches. But I was looking for something like acrylic finish, something, I don't know, something strong that'll totally cover the stone.
I mean... Typically, a sealer should be strong enough to cover it, so it doesn't have... I mean, I've never seen them in acrylic finish per se.
No.
But you would actually have to, again, I mean, as far as the finish is concerned, it's going to be more a question of taste than anything, because some of them are shiny, some of them are flat.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, as far as... products is concerned, or I mean, it's a question of reapplication. So you just want to make sure that you clean the stone extremely well, especially it's a high traffic area. So I'm sure there's a lot of grime and salt and everything that comes from the outside there. So it has to be cleaned extremely well. Use trisodium phosphate, let it dry before you apply. Because if you apply at a dusty floor or a floor that have some type of granulation, what's going to end up happening is that the sealer in those areas is not going to adhere properly, it's not going to be absorbed properly.
Okay.
And what you're going to end up having is the areas that you want actually to be sealed are not sealed, and they're going to just keep on deteriorating.
All right.
Okay. Sodium phosphate, I can get that at a hardware store?
Any Home Depot, big box store, Patrick Morin.
Home Depot, I think.
Well, I mean, all the big, I would go to Patrick Morin, Canac, all of these guys, yeah. So any big bookstore, any Kankeri, even Rona, Reno.
Yeah.
But usually start with whatever is local.
Okay, and I have local. I live in Ontario, but okay. One more question. I have varnished floors that I did 6 years ago again, and I didn't do it. I had them done. But there is one traffic area where someone sits that the varnish is wearing off down to the bare wood. Now, that wood has not been tarnished yet. What can I do to patch it that it, or do I have to redo the whole floor? Like, can I do it that it won't show, or like, you know, cover it that it won't show that it's patched?
Well, here's the good news for you, Gail. If you don't, the way it looks right now versus the way it's going to look when you're going to put the varnish, it's going to, even though it's going to show that there was a repair, it's not going to be nearly as bad as what you're seeing right now. So what you do is you do some light sanding. You want to make sure to open up the pores of the wood.
Yes.
In order to accept the varnish, then you can apply just in this particular area. And yes, it will show repair for a while, but with time it will fade away.
Okay, and is there any, they use industrial varnish when they do floors. It's polyurethane.
You could use Bono Traffic would probably be my favorite.
Bono Traffic?
Correct.
Can I buy that in Ontario?
You can buy that in Ontario, that's correct. That's the one that is, if you want, the most popular even among sanders. They like that product.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. I thank you so much.
All right, Gail.
Have a good evening.
Bye now. Maureen, thanks for waiting.
Okay.
You want to talk about your sink, right?
Yes.
The kitchen sink?
Is it
the kitchen
sink? I have some problem with my sink.
The kitchen sink?
The new sink, and I'm washing it like twice a week. But that don't seem enough. It becomes slimy at the bottom, the food rests at the side. even though I'm hosing it to get the food out, it's still there. I have to take out everything and wash it again. Can you help me with something that I can use to clean it?
So I'm not quite understanding. Your sink is made out of what product? Stainless steel?
Oh, gosh, or? I have no idea. It's okay. A new sink. It's a new kitchen, and they put a sink in there, and I don't know what.
Okay. What color is the sink?
Black inside.
It's black. Uh-huh. So if it's black, then it's either a quartz sink or an acrylic sink. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to tap on it and tell me if you feel it's does it have a plasticky feel or a stone feel to it.
Okay.
And then...
What does it feel? I don't know.
You have to have more of a rhythm when you're tapping.
It feels like steel. No, I don't think it's steel.
No.
I have no idea what it...
Because I do feel some hollow when you're tapping. There's like this hollow noise in the back. There's a bit of an echo.
A little bit, yes.
So it's more an acrylic type sink than a quartz sink or even a metal. Because they do it also in cast iron.
Mm.
Now, trust me, if this would have been a cast iron, you would have known because they would have charged you an arm and a leg for it. So it doesn't seem that that's the case. In your case, what you can try as a product would be 3M Scotch Bright, Pad and Comet. That's pretty much what it is. So that will probably be your best bet as far as an acrylic sink cleaner, if it is indeed made out of acrylic.
So if
is it a pad, you said?
Yeah, it's Pad and Comet. It's made by 3M. It's
okay.
Called like Scotch Bright on the.
Yeah, 3M Scotch Bright.
Okay. I'll try. I'll buy that and see if it's gonna work.
Oh, if you can't find that, we can try also Ajax. AJAX.
Oh, Ajax. Okay.
Ajax. That also should work. Or any really like what you need is a powder detergent. That's pretty much what it is.
Okay. Well, I was using some Ajax, like you say, but it's still when I leave it for a day or two, more than a day, or maybe 3 days or something like that, it becomes again slimy and the food rests in the back. You know, these new things, I don't know. I just
figure
it out.
Try the Scotch Bright. Scotch Bright might work better for you. It's also going to boil down, to be quite frank with you, when it comes to acrylic sinks, it's different qualities, okay?
Yes,
so,
I guess.
And that's actually a thing when it comes to stainless sinks or even, quartz sinks. So if you have... an acrylic of a lower quality, which I hope you don't, it's going to be harder typically to clean.
Try with a
3M. If that doesn't work, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. It's a question of what you need is those powder cleaners, and you're going to have to try different brands until you find the one that works best for you. But anything else does not really work as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I use was the liquid Ajax, and it cleans when I clean it.
You want to have a powder.
Powder, okay.
Yes. The liquid
I'll
would
try
not
the
work.
Powder.
Try the
or
powder.
I'll try the Scotch that you said.
Let us know how it works.
Yeah, let us know, Maureen, all right, how it turns out.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate your
Absolutely.
Helping me.
Thank you for the call. Okay, bye-bye now. All right. It's Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. Coming back with more of your phone calls at 514-790-0800. 951. It's the Home Improvement Show. Walter and Ken. And Mona's been waiting patiently on the phone. Hi, Mona.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you. What do you want to talk to Walter about?
I have my roof changed from shingles to metal roof in 2018. It has been raining last year, and I noticed that I have a leak. Hmm. I never had a leak in my shingles when I changed it, but then with my metal roof, I had a leak.
Okay, well, that's not good. 2018 is really young for a metal roof. This is the first year you have a leak?
It's the first year I noticed it. Chances are because I never went up into my attic.
Okay.
And I noticed there's water spots in my attic, like in the joint of my attic. I have a single house that has an attic on it, like those triangles.
Yeah. I get, okay. So you've seen that leak coming through to your home, or you just peeked in your attic and saw water stains on the plywood?
In my attic that stays on the plywood.
Okay. And you're 100% sure these are not old stains? These are fresh stains?
These are fresh stains.
Hmm. Okay. And is it concentrated in one area?
Yes.
Okay. In that area, is there any fireplaces, chimneys, like plumbing vents? Okay. So you can right away eliminate any flashing issues in this case. So if the water is coming in through a plywood, let's say in the midsection of the roof, then it's probably it could be attributed to many things when it comes to roofs. Do you know when they removed, did they remove the shingles, the existing shingles on your roof when they installed it? Or they installed
it? Yes, they did. They did. Okay. I think it's not a fashion to keep the shingles.
It's not what?
It's not, I believe it's not a fashion back then. They take out the shingles.
Well, I mean, believe it or not, a lot of metal installers, they actually keep the shingles
keep
for
the
some
shingles.
Reason. I'd rather they remove them. That's my preference, but a lot of them remove. What kind of a membrane did they put on the decking?
I believe wood, because they had asked me they have to replace some wood in the roof, so they replaced them.
Okay, but I mean... usually they have to put, before they install the metal roof, they have to put some type of a membrane underneath. Do you know if they did that?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Look, it's it could be a damaged fastener, it could be seam problems. I wouldn't talk mostly about either corrosion or rust, because you don't have, it's only 2018. It could also be from the get-go, it's improper installation, like maybe the fasteners or the seams were not adequately installed. That creates also entry points, overdriven or underdriven or improperly angled screws, believe it or not. That is a big cause that you see in the installation process that will cause as well these types of penetration of water. Now, the second thing would be maybe seams. So if you have panel overlaps, or like if you have a deteriorated sealant in the seams, these are that also become susceptible to leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
so what
it's not really, again, I would not talk about the aging or the corrosion or the rust, because that's also another factor. I'm more focused on the installation from the get-go. Now, usually when you install a metal roof, it has to come with about a 50-year warranty, or what they call a lifetime warranty. Hmm. Have you reached...
Supposedly. No. I had just installed in 2018, and I've been calling the company. They came, they checked, they told me they fixed it. But then when it rained, I see water.
Okay. So what you're going to do is you're going to take a picture of that. You're going to send it. You're going to have to have everything documented. You're going to send them a mise en demeure, a legal letter asking them to come and fix it once and for all. or you're going to be hiring another company to fix it and sending them the bill. Okay. Now, typically, you can give them a certain amount of days. You're lucky it's a roof, so it doesn't have to be very generous. So you can tell them, look, you have 10 days to come and fix it, or else I'm, you know, hiring another roofer to come and fix it, and I will send you the bill. And then if you ever go to, they don't pay you back, you ever go to court, you're protected. As long as everything is done in writing and through registered letters. But have to be registered letters in writing and everything else.
I even texted the owner of the company, didn't get any response.
Okay, so no response is always great. As far as if you're going to go to a legal venue. Now, these guys typically are they part of any association beside the RBQ? Because you could call the RBQ, you could also make a complaint there. So, you know, the more noise you make, the better, because that will put more pressure on them. Another venue you can also take, and, you know, you can call another roofer to have their opinion, or you can call a roofing inspector. Unfortunately, you would have to pay them money, but they will give you a detailed report of everything that is wrong with your roof. Which you could send to that company, and if they don't do it, you can have it done, and then that will protect you, another layer of protection. So if you ever go to court, you say to the judge, look, I hired an inspector, this is what they came up with, I hired a roofer to correct this because I wanted to protect my home.
Right.
I don't want to aggravate the damages. So these are the steps that you can take. But what do we do to be a bit more proactive and faster? It's not going to cost you anything. Call another roofer that does metal roofing. And have their opinion instead of getting the, because typically if that roofer, when he's going to come back, the one that installed it originally, he's going to do the minimum possible in order to not to spend too much money on his warranty. Whereas if you have someone that's going to come with fresh pair of eyes, he's going to tell you, well, these fasteners are badly installed, the seams are not good here. And it's going to give you a full analysis of what went wrong with this installation.
Mona, we're up against the clock. I hope you got some helpful information from Walter there.
Thank you. I was just wondering if he can recommend me a roof inspector. Maybe I'll go into that roof.
Maybe off the air, I'm going to have to look into my notes.
Okay. We're gonna put you on hold.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Mona.
Walter, thank you for a great hour.
Always a pleasure.
The Home Improvement Show. Back again next week.